This Week in Free Energy.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Hello, this is Sterling Allen with PES Network. Thanks for joining us for Free Energy Now. It's a weekly program where we go in depth and talk to inventors and technologies about technologies in an in-depth way. Today our guest is Paul Isom. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Paul is the Vice President of Business Development for MiaLink and Synergy Solution. They specialize in methods for using existing systems of motors, lighting, and thermal systems such as refrigeration, and they have retrofit solutions so that those use much less energy with a fairly short return on investment, oftentimes a few months, and in some cases maybe a couple of years in the bigger systems. So maybe you can just give us a thumbnail view of what it is that you have at Synergy Solution.
Well, that's a great question. The Synergy Solution is our product suite that has a number of products that are tailor-addressed for current retrofits or even new implementations. What we primarily do with the Synergy Solution is we offer an energy audit where we come out to a customer's location and evaluate how they're currently using their energy. Usually the most wasteful places where energy is not consumed the best is in motors, in lighting, and in thermal and air heating scenarios. And so we will we'll do an audit for the customer, determine exactly what they're currently spending, and be able to evaluate what our products are going to do by simply marrying up with their existing motors, lighting, or heating conditions. And so our units are designed to kind of plug and play with current situations.
Your primary customer being businesses?
Right now, if along the Synergy Solution suite, there are, dozens and dozens of products. Right now, we are focusing on business, commercial and industrial customers. But we will be releasing a whole line of products first quarter 2007 that will address residential and some automotive things. But primarily right now, we're dealing with commercial and industrial customers.
Mm-hmm. Give us an example of your best solution that really makes a difference and has a very good price point, good return on investment.
Well, again, a great question. It depends on what the customer is doing. If it's an industrial customer and they're using a lot of motors, and the majority, really, if I can kind of come back to that same question in a different way, Sterling, is how is your energy being consumed right now? And every customer is going to have a different answer to that. An industrial customer will consume most of their energy on motors, whereas a commercial customer is going to be from lighting to heating and temperature control kind of things, air conditioning, and all of that. So the Synergy Solution is a umbrella product line that has uniquely tailored items that will address whatever the customer has give it a tune-up, so to speak, an energy tune-up, to be able to perform their duties better. So, for example, in lighting, we would take out the old technology fluorescent lamps and put in our technology of fluorescent lamps instead,
and just by that
simple retrofit.
It doesn't require a change of the actual fixture. It's just the bulbs, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's a bulb lamp and adapter that fits on the lamp combination that goes into the socket. And so to the customer, nothing, you know, changes. There's no change in the ballast, which right now that is the only alternative, is to basically gut your light and change out the ballast and upgrade your lamp and your ballast. In order to go to, for example, a T8 lighting scenario, if you want to go to a T5 lighting scenario, not only do you have to upgrade the ballast, but you have to upgrade the lamp and the sockets. And with our technology, in either scenario, you don't have to do that. It's just an adapter with our lamp that plug and plays with the customer's existing light.
And it actually puts out as much, if not more, light and uses how much less energy?
Well, it depends on what the customer has before we put our technology in. The average customer, let's say they've got the big fat T12 lamp, you know, about the diameter of a banana. If that's the size lamp they have, and if we're talking an office scenario, you just look up and look into your office ceiling, and if you have a four lamp light, one of our lights will generally put out more light than four of the T12s will. And again, you're going to go from a 32 or a 40 watt lamp times four that you had before to one of our lamps is putting out just as much light that only uses 28 watts.
So do you replace, when you replace these out, since one of your bulbs replaces, let's say if you have four in a fixture, do you only replace one of those sockets?
We don't do anything with the socket. We just, the technology fits between the sockets. And so what used to be a lamp, with our technology, is an adapter and a lamp that fits in between the sockets.
What I mean is, if you've got, before you had four bulbs, since one of your bulbs puts out more light than four previously, are you replacing one of yours with what used to be four, or are you actually replacing four to get four times as much light?
You could. It's up to the customer however they want to do it. There are some clients that want both energy savings, an increased quality of light, and an improvement in brightness of light. And so a customer like that may, do all four lamps, and get a tremendously brighter scenario as well as they're saving energy. Or if they're more conscious on saving energy, then they can do two lamps for four. Or if they want to be about the same brightness that they had before and they're extremely interested in saving energy, then you can do, take out four and put one in. So it's kind of up to the customer how they want to do it, and the technology allows the client to be flexible.
You were talking about the one of your T5s would take 28 watts. How much would the T12 that it's replacing use?
The traditional T12 4-foot lamp that I'm using in this example is usually 32 to 40 watts per lamp, plus the ballast, which would be, roughly 8 to another 10 watts. And so...
Does this use a ballast, or does it go around it, or what?
It either can... depends on what kind of ballast that the client has when we provide the technology to them. But the adapter will either work with the existing ballast and basically upgrade the technology of the ballast by adapting that ballast, or it will it'll completely bypass the ballast, which is I wouldn't say the majority, but a lot of the time it'll go into bypass mode. Because the ballast is useless with our technology. It doesn't need to be there.
Uh-huh. Now, these bulbs, the lamps that you're putting in, are a little bit more expensive than the existing T12s or T8s, as you talked about.
It's not. We actually will match the customer's price of what they're currently spending on lamps. So if they have, if they're spending, X amount of dollars per lamp, we will make sure that we price the lamp portion of that to be the same. So there is no uptick at all in what they would be currently doing. Our lamps do last longer than a traditional average lamp. And but I think where you're coming from is a traditional T5 lamp that you would go out and buy from a lighting store is more expensive. So the smaller the lamp and the brighter the lamp, the more that you normally pay. But with our program, we actually match what doesn't matter, you know, what volume that they buy at or what their current price point is of their existing technology, we will match that price.
So just at a minimum scenario, you walk into somebody's place and they're going to be buying lamps from you that cost the same as the lamps they're getting now, with the difference being that they put out a lot more light and they last longer and they use less energy.
Correct.
Kind of a no-brainer sale.
It is. Yeah.
Now, how that maybe I didn't understand when I was getting some information earlier from you and from Dan, your associate.
Uh-huh.
I had understood that the bulbs were actually a little more expensive. Maybe I was thinking of the traditional T5s, or he thought that's what I was talking about. You're saying that you're able to sell your T5 bulbs, which put out more energy and cost and consume much less energy. They put out more light and consume much less energy at the same price as what they're buying their T8s and their T12s from their existing sources.
Correct. Now, there are, so where you might have taken that is the traditional marketplace. T8s are more expensive than T12s, and T5s are more expensive than T8s. But with us, we do a price match guarantee so that there is no hurdles of wanting to implement our technology. Our goal is to save as much energy per customer as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will give one possible exception to this. We do have a 96 CRI lamp that is extremely great at color rendering. And so people who are under fluorescent lamps all the time, scenarios like schools, engineers, people that are constantly using their eyes for reading or looking at detailed information, or people that just want better color light rather than the yellow lamps that a traditional fluorescent gives, we do have a 96 CRI color lamp, and those are about the same price as the industry standard lamp is. So, our high CRI lamp is the same as a traditional lamp in the regular marketplace. So,
now from a business point of view, I would think that the product that you're talking about would be a no-brainer not only for you as a salesperson, but for a place like Walmart or Lowe's, you know, someone that's providing these supplies commercially.
Uh-huh.
Why are they not being distributed through that avenue?
Because we have kind of a double philosophy with what we do. MiaLink is the opportunity and sales and marketing arm, and the Synergy Solution is the product suite company. And MiaLink has the exclusive rights to the Synergy Solution. Synergy Solution's mission is to have the most energy efficient, verifiable and measurable products in the world. And MiaLink's philosophy is to use everyday people to transmit and to market and sell these services. Now we do have a wholesale channel that we imagine that in the very near future that a lot of companies will, you know, be coming to us. But our main focus is to supply these technologies through a medium where people can make some money and improve their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. It seems hard for me to believe that your bulbs are at the same price point and you're able to get enough profit to make it worth your while. And you're saving energy, putting out more light. That is really amazing.
Well, we just want happy customers, you know, and we want to be able to get in. We don't want to have, you know, any sticky points of why they wouldn't want to implement this. Currently, that's the promotion that we're offering. Will that promotion always be in effect? I don't know, but currently that's what it is we're right now in a pre-launch mode, and getting the technologies out. So.
Mm-hmm. And so you're not, advertising, and you're not trying to generate sales as much as you're trying to generate your sales force. Is that correct?
Both. We definitely want to sell, but we want to sell in a controlled and in a very good growth where we know hypergrowth is going to come, and we just don't want to accelerate that hypergrowth where we can't manage or maintain what we're doing. So.
Okay. Well, when you came and you gave a demonstration of your products to me, the one that I found really fascinating, I mean, the lighting I also was really impressed with, and we've just been talking about that. But let's talk for a little bit about these power controllers for motors.
Okay. Motor controllers are basically little miniature computers, microprocessing units that get installed on an existing motor. And what it does is it regulates the inrush of power to that motor to be the exact amount of energy that motor really needs. Generic AC inductive motors are not intelligent. They have been engineered to perform a certain amount of work. And so what a motor controller does is if you compare a motor to a horse, a motor controller is like the rider on the horse. And that horse has the ability to run, full tilt, full throttle, and generate a lot of horsepower. But the rider is able to regulate that horse and tell it to trot when it needs to trot, or walk, or even stop and get a drink when it needs to. And so these are all scenarios that the PowerBoss motor controller has the ability to do with that motor. Instead of wasting energy when it doesn't need to be, it adjusts the amount of energy for the amount of work and torque that motor is going through.
When the motor is sitting there spinning and it doesn't need to have, it's not using the torque that it's capable of putting out, for example, an escalator.
Uh-huh.
During those times, is it putting that energy out in the form of heat?
Yeah. What energy cannot be cannot just disappear, and so the motor has to do something with that energy when it's being wasted. And so what the motor does is it translates that wasted energy into heat, vibration, and noise, and which are all detrimental to a motor. And so what the motor controller does is it adjusts the voltage and the amperage to the exact amount that motor needs, fractions of a second all the time. And so in your scenario of an escalator, and let me clarify, and while maintaining the same speed that motor was engineered to do. So the escalator will always operate the same speed it always does, but at times when no one is on the escalator, then the motor controller will adjust the motor's current to match the load that is on there, which when no one's on there, it's just the weight of the belt system, the drive system. But then as soon as someone steps on the stair, and more people get on a stair, then what it will do is it'll adjust the torque of that motor and in order to accommodate what's going on. And so basically what it is, it's a variable, we turn a generic motor into a variable torque motor. We don't adjust the speed at all. And that's kind of the technology that we compete against are variable speed motors. And variable speed motors are a particular motor that are very expensive that adjust the hertz, the speed of the motor, in order to save energy. And so what a variable speed motor will do is it will adjust the speed of the escalator in order to save money. We keep the speed of the escalator the same, but we adjust the torque that's needed.
Yeah, I remember, in the demonstration that you showed me, you had the motor running there before you had your unit on there, and you had your needles showing the energy, the amperage, and the voltage. And when I grabbed the shaft, you know, nothing happened to the amperage or the voltage. It didn't go up. It stayed up at a certain level. It was pegged. It didn't move. But when you put your unit in place so that it was regulating the incoming current to the motor, when I grabbed, first of all, in idle mode, the energy consumption was down like half or less.
Correct.
From when it was, from the other situation where it was running without your controller. And then when I grabbed the shaft, I could see immediately, proportional to the amount that I was gripping the shaft, the current was increasing, but it never even got as high as what it was when it was running without your unit.
Correct.
When I was putting that load in by putting resistance on the shaft. And that was really impressive to see that a motor, I think an escalator is a good example, you know, you've got all this energy capability, and what's happening in most scenarios is that motor is running at full capacity, and it doesn't need to be. And your unit is taking measurements, what, every 100th of a second?
Yeah, every half cycle. Mm-hmm.
And it's saying basically, okay, what do we need? And as soon as there's any torque increase or decrease, it either increases or decreases the current coming into the unit.
Correct.
And so it only is consuming as much power as it needs, and it's consuming exactly as much power as it needs to maintain that specified RPM for which it is engineered to run.
Correct.
You also talk about soft start, soft stop. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Sure. Every motor, again, they're engineered to do a certain amount of energy, and in order to get to that, they consume an enormous inrush of energy to just get started, to get their, you know, to get the motor up to speed. And you know, that only takes a, you know, a split second in order to trigger on, but a huge amount of energy is consumed in that start, and that start of a motor is translated. Almost every business gets a bill from the power company that will show, in some form or another, a demand charge. And what that demand charge is billing them for is for those instances that the power company has to send extra energy than normal in order to jumpstart something like a motor. And so what a soft start does is it's basically, it's a ramp start. And so we take that motor and we gradually give it the energy that needs to start without throwing a huge amount of energy to it. So if a motor, let's say it runs at 10 amps, but in order to get started, it has to draw 20 or 25 amps to get started. What it will do is it will throw 3 amps worth of energy, 4, 5, 6, and then it ramps it to 10. And so it's a ramping start to get started, which is a lot better on the motor, and significantly affects the demand charge that that people are, the penalty that that companies are usually paying. Which, by the way, that demand charge, a lot of times is half, if not more than half, of the power bill.
And so, just by soft starting their motors, they're able to cut their bill in half.
Well, not all the time, because there's other variables. There's other things that that will be producing a demand charge than just the motors. But if all you had were motors, and you're, you know, how many times that motor is kicking on is soft started, then your demand charge will only be that start of which range that they're normally being billed for anyway. So they're, in other words, you're paying for the kilowatt block of energy that you're using anyway, but you're being penalized for that spike of energy at the beginning. And so we soft start that and alleviates huge amounts of not only energy and waste and damage to the motor, but the soft start also is going to prevent maintenance issues, driveline brakes, belt breakage, things like that you know, are just different variables that also get helped. The soft stop feature is can be initialized if a motor needs to gently slow down, like in a water pump, for example. Whereas normally you've got you have a lot of this kinetic energy flowing through the pipe and going through the motor, or going through the pump rather, and when, as soon as the motor turns off for the pump, the pump stops, and then you have all this energy of water that's still trying to move, and which causes hammering effects, which is damaging to the pump. So it can be designed to do that. Now, soft starters are not anything new, especially for clients who have large motors and know very well that they're being penalized for their starts of their motors. We just start motors better and save. So if you compare just soft start technology, we're better in that regard. We've got soft stop, which there's just a few competitors out there that offer that. But then in addition to that, our motor controllers have many other built-in features that all you have to do is enable them. For example, a rock crusher. We can do kickstart, which basically turns soft start off for a particular start. And that would be a good scenario for if a rock crusher is full of rock and the power happens to go out. What a cement company or a mining or a quarry company has to do is they have to unload all of that rock so that they can start their motor for their crusher and then put the rock back in. Well, we can just disable soft start with kickstart, and it will jump start that motor in order to crush the rock. In fact, it can even infuse more energy if the rocks are stuck or something like that. So kickstart's a great scenario. There are dozens and dozens of features that can be programmed into the PowerBoss unit in order to exactly help a particular industry or application.
You know, it occurs to me that basically what you've done is you have matched the computer revolution to the industrial revolution, a match that has taken a long time to catch on. In other words, these motors came about before computers existed.
Correct.
And so the motor technology has gotten into our psyche, and we've got these motors all over the place, and we've been building and designing motors. And yet computers have come along, and we haven't been applying that technology to the motors until this kind of technology. And you're basically saying that's silly to be wasting your energy like that. If you don't need the motor to run full speed all the time, why not, deliver the power that's only the power that's needed? You still have the same performance on the user end, but you're not using nearly as much electricity. And it's kind of ironic to me that this product has taken so long to catch on in the United States, whereas it has been selling quite well. Didn't you say 15 years in other countries? It started in the UK?
Correct. Yeah, if they're manufactured in the United Kingdom, and the PowerBoss Integra product is worldwide in over 70 countries now, we've got units that are still ticking after 14 years. So what we've just done, however, is been able to engineer the technology that is. Which is interesting that almost all the products that the Synergy Solution offers are products that are worldwide, but have not been implemented in the United States or North America because of the power grid here. And so it's taken some engineering and things to accommodate the products for our North American power grid, which is different from the rest of the world.
Right. We're at the bottom of the hour right now. We have a weekly infusion of information from Zenya Rice. She joins us right now to talk about how we can reduce our energy footprint on the planet. Of course, our entire show today is about that. But in the spirit of our weekly offering, Zenya, what do you have for us?
Okay, greetings, Sterling. Well, welcome from the Motor City. I'm in the Detroit area with my family, and I would like to address vehicles. Carbon dioxide emissions that are polluting the atmosphere, causing global warming. Nearly a third of all the emissions come from transportation in the USA. It's critically important to reduce emissions from the cars and trucks we drive. 27% of the U.S. Carbon dioxide emissions come from vehicles, and 60% of these are vehicles made in the Motor City area. Because Michigan is the center of all the nation's auto industry, it has a unique opportunity to take the lead in addressing global warming. Detroit can demonstrate its technological leadership by applying gas-saving technologies to spur sales and create new jobs here. In fact, Michigan lost 32% of its auto assembly from consumers buying more autos that are cleaner running and high mileage to foreign manufacturers. And right now, the 3D big automobile makers are awaiting a climate change ruling regarding actually regulating greenhouse gases by the Supreme Court to force the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, to begin regulating. The suit was brought in June 2003 by Massachusetts and actually 12 other states. So adopting a clean car program that establishes a limit on health-damaging pollution will pave the way for widespread introduction of technologies, replacing some transportation fuels with plant-based fuels like ethanol, biodiesel, to save about 1.5 million barrels of oil a day. And we're currently using about 84 million barrels. Other technologies are being introduced are hybrid electric, fuel cell hydrogen, direct injection engine, advanced transmission, improved air conditioning systems. But there are many other technologies in testing stages and available to convert engines now for high gas mileage with almost no emissions. So the Clear Car Program can require many things, low rolling, resistance replacement tires, and other kind of things. So what you can do now with your own car or truck is make sure that the pressure of air in your tires are the right amount for the best gas mileage. Keep your air filter clean, have an auto tune-up for best efficiency. And of course, if you're buying a vehicle, investigate what your best choice would be in purchasing a vehicle. So the other thing, of course, would be to contact your public officials to get the government to take action to discuss and acknowledge this very serious problem and form its strategies and address what we need to do to prepare for the few changes that are just ahead. There is a 50-minute video that was referred to me called The Oil, Smoke, and Mirrors. Oil, Smoke, and Mirrors on the Internet, posted at mypeakoil.org. Other websites for more on the truth of global warming are the Al Gore film and Inconvenient Truths, which is also at .com, and Climate Change, climatechange.com, and the Energy Star, energystar.com website has information. Just another bit of information news in Michigan right now is what to do about Canadian trash that's been and still being brought over here in Michigan for disposal. So it's a big political issue now with the election. So that's about it for now.
Here. Thank you for joining us, Enya.
Thank you. Some blessings.
Okay, Paul, before we get off the subject of this motor controller technology, I'd like to talk about the harmonizing of the three phases of power. How much of an issue is that, and your technology addresses that?
Are you talking about the different lengths of power?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times that's imbalanced, and there's not a lot a client can do there. That happens for a number of different reasons, but that imbalance is called harmonics. And so what this does is it regulates all three lines. So the motor controller is actually when it controls that motor, it is controlling it through those three lines, and so it automatically balances the harmonic imbalance that is occurring normally, as well as adjusting the current to match the load. And so the optimization process that's going on is going across the three different phases of power that's going into the motor, or in the case of a home, it would be across the one or two phases.
Do you have some good data in that shows the longevity that you're giving to motors with versus without the PowerBoss technology?
Yeah, a lot of number one, just optimizing the motor is tremendous by the way of heat. When you lower the heat, every 10 degrees you can lower the temperature of a motor, you're going to double the life of that motor. And so that's a huge huge savings and increase of lifespan of a motor. Again, all motors are built differently. You can have a particular motor manufactured by the same company that may not perform as well, even though they're from the same birth date on the off the manufacturing line. But by exactly giving the amount of energy that motor needs, it is going to absolutely optimize the lifespan of that motor. One of the things that you mentioned was the marrying of computer technology to motor control. One thing I do want to bring back up, I mentioned before, variable speed motors. That's an example of, you know, of matching processing to AC electrical cycle. If you compared us against a variable speed motor, the problem is the variable speed motor, their processing technology is a part of the motor. It's all one complete unit, and so and that's the reason why they are so much more expensive out there. Whereas you compare, just by adding our technology as an integral part of the motor, you can still buy a very inexpensive AC inductive motor that will even outperform a variable speed. We found that a variable speed motor is still less efficient in its energy consumption by between 6 and 11% than our motor controller. So not only are we less expensive, but we do a better job at doing that, just because we regulate the current through voltage and amperage, and they adjust the hertz frequency. So
obviously the unit's not going to be free, so what's the return on investment because of the savings on electricity and the longevity on the motor?
We do not calculate longevity of the motor, just because that's so hard to determine. But a customer knows how many times they're replacing motors, and that just becomes an added bonus to them. What we do calculate the return on investment is a combination of optimization, and currently that is usually between 15% and 40% savings of energy on that motor is the optimization savings. And then, of course, you've got the soft start feature, which can be tremendous. And so there's a lot of variables there that contribute to a customer's return on their investment. We've seen ROIs as short as a few months, and some, are 18, 24 months. All of our products, by the way, have a 3-year return on investment guarantee within the Synergy solution.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the other products. We've talked about the lighting. We've talked about the power controllers. You have several others that seem to tailor maybe more to the convenience store or in the grocery store type of application, refrigeration solutions.
Sure. There's a division within this energy solution called the Supermarket Energy Technology Suite, and those customize services to convenience stores and supermarkets. And a large proportion of their energy spend is in refrigeration and keeping cold or even frozen their goods. And we have a number of products tailored for that space, because they are by far the largest wasters of energy per square foot than any industry. And so some of those services are, for example, Dormizer. What that is it's a temperature on-off switch for the refrigerated doors that you're used to pulling open and grabbing your milk or grabbing your frozen pizza. Those freezer doors or refrigerated doors have heating within those doors, so that the door stays hot in order to combat fogging up and not being able to see into the product. So these are normally heated, and they're heated all the time. And so what our technology does is we place a sensor on every door, and that sensor tells the heater if it should be on. If it is, then we heat up just that that piece of the freezer door section that door is a part of in order to combat against the fogging. As soon as that sensor detects that the humidity is gone, then the heater turns off again. Instead of a 24/7 drain of heat, whether it needs to or not, we're finding that that typically a supermarket or C store spends 10% of their energy just in heating of those glass doors, the Dormizer reduces that, depending, of course, on how often they're open and closed. A pretty safe average is right around 70% of that space of energy is saved.
Again, it's applying the computer technology to something that apparently has chosen not to use a computer in its initial development.
Correct.
It's just turned on all the time.
Exactly. Now, there are competitors to this, and all they do is they have a timer. Because they can't intelligently turn on and off when it needs to be, like our technology can be retrofitted to a freezer door to do, they just cycle, and they just randomly, these five doors turn on, and then the next five doors turn on, and that's the only thing they can do in order to save energy. And so we specifically turn that heater on when it's needed, exactly when it's needed, no longer. So.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The competitor sounds like they're just taking a statistical approach, saying, on average, the doors only you only need to have it on this amount of time, and it needs to be cycled. And by doing that, they're able to cut down some on the energy usage. But you're using much more of an intelligent approach, saying, let's only give it electricity when it needs it. You've got these humidity sensors that you put at the bottoms of the door usually, and when it detects humidity, it turns on.
Exactly. And unfortunately, by cycling like the competitors do, it doesn't really save energy at any level that is noticeable. And it doesn't alleviate the problem of fog, because let's say a customer opens up to grab some milk and that happens to be cycled off when, it's not combating the fog, which is defeating the purpose of why you need to heat the door to begin with. So exactly, we take an intelligent approach to it.
Back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of customer satisfaction, the reason they have these defoggers on the door so you can see product, which sells product. And one of the things we didn't mention when we were talking about lighting is how improved lighting has been scientifically proven to be correlated to improved sales.
Correct. And so in addition to keeping your doors fog-free, the supermarket C-store will sell more product because they'll be able to see it more readily, as well as save energy, as well as if they implement our lighting technology with higher CRI lamps, or even our traditional lamps are higher CRI than they currently have almost always. And so better light and less fog means just more sales to the owner.
Right. Before we go on to the next item that you have in your basket of offerings for this type of energy savings on retrofit applications, we haven't talked about what your website is and how people can get in contact with you.
Sure. Our product offerings can be found at synergysolution.com, and that's Energy Solution with an S at the beginning, synergysolution.com. And my email is Paul, P-A-U-L, at synergysolution.com. And you're free to send any inquiries that you have about our products. And our staff of professionals can give you a call back. I primarily deal with the implementation and bringing in the best of technologies into our offering. We'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone might have, whether it be with our products or with the opportunity that we have available.
Yeah, and I'd like to encourage people when they do that to mention that they heard about you on this show, because I actually got excited enough about your product that I joined on as an associate of sorts.
Sure.
You know, by mentioning that you heard about us there, we get a little bit from that as well. Let's talk about some of the other products that you have.
Well, along the lines of the supermarket suite, we have fan misers, which intelligently adjust the speed of the fan in a walk-in freezer or refrigerated room. So that would be for fast foods, that would be for restaurants, supermarkets, convenience stores all have this type of setup. Refrigerated transport trailers for diesels. And so what it does is when the temperature of that room is met, then our fan miser will adjust the speed of the fan rotation so that the air is not blown out of the cracks, or when an employee opens up the door to get product, all that refrigerated air just gets blown right out of the room. And so there's significant energy savings by putting this the fan miser on the existing fan set. Another product we have are ECM motors that actually replace the fans that are currently being used either in the freezers or even in the coffin reach-in freezers or the stand-up deli freezers or the refrigerated doors that we were talking about with door miser. Our fans are 58% more efficient in their consumption of energy, and they push the refrigerated or chilled air around more efficient, so that the compressor actually has the chance to turn off more often.
Isn't one of the issues there the fact that the existing fans generate a lot of heat, and which is fighting against the cooling effect that the freezers are trying to accomplish?
Yeah, that's a small portion of it. A lot of it's just they are just old technology motors, you know, spinning a shaft with a blade at the end. And our ECM fans are specially designed to maintain momentum of the blade, and so they utilize much less energy in order to drive that shaft. And the blade design moves that air much more efficiently than the standard motors and fan motors that are currently in. Even high efficiency fans that some companies are touting that are being sold in refrigerated scenarios don't even come close to the efficiency that our fans are. We had a client with a brand new facility. They upgraded their fans, the efficiency fans, heard about our technology. We replaced, you know, some of the bays of fans with ours, and after the short run, they did a complete swap out of all of our fans for even the high-efficiency fans before all the product arrived for that store before it turned up. So it's a huge savings in that piece. We've got Night Shield. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Before we go on, that one, that's the one that's made by GE, right?
It is.
And
that's been specially made for this, you know, for this application.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
Another product is the Night Shield technology.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I knew there was something else I wanted to interject here. I apologize for jumping in here.
Sure.
But this last one is the only case I can think of where it's actually not a retrofit situation, where you're actually replacing an existing system with a newer system. Everything else that you have is designed to work with existing fans, existing heaters, just to make them work more efficiently.
Sure.
And so the install cost is very low. This is one where the install cost actually is a little higher because you're actually having to go in and replace out the fans.
Correct. And we just unscrew the three screws that's in the fan, or the customer or the client can do that. If they have a facilities maintenance team that's used to doing that, it's no big deal for them to do. You pull out the three screws of the old fan, unplug it, pull it out, and drop our new one in the same spot, plug it in, and insert the three screws back in the same spot. It's pretty quick.
Right. We were then going to talk about the Night Shield.
Yeah, the Night Shield is basically a thermal blanket that's been designed for deli coolers, you know, where you grab your lunch meat or hot dogs, the stand-up vertical. Basically, you're refrigerating a bunch of air, but that refrigerated air is you know, bellowing out into the halls, and or the coffin style, you know, where you get your turkey for Thanksgiving, you reach down into that the bin style fridge or freezer, and again, you've got fans in there that are blowing refrigerated air in order to keep that product cold. We've got two versions of Night Shield, one that's clear, so that clients can still see in through the Night Shield into the product, and it's a perforated shield so that moisture doesn't build up and inhibit the view of the product, and that's used for a 24/7 application where they've got customers all the time, and during certain slow times you might want to pull down the clear Night Shields in order to trap the refrigerated air in there, and thus when Night Shield is implemented, there's a 33% savings in refrigeration costs for that unit.
It's the principle of please shut the refrigerator door that
exactly.
You were growing up.
Yeah, there's just no doors on them, and so what we have is we've got a clear one for ones that you want to see through during a 24/7 application, or a completely opaque one that's made out of it's an aluminum based feature where when stores close for the night. You just pull these down. The customer doesn't need to see product. You pull it down, and it does a better job of insulating than the clear one. But the clear one is you know, it's got its place, and the aluminum is basically the door that shuts to keep the cold air in.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about with this whole scenario that I find quite interesting on a human level is, here we have this technology that, in my opinion, is just so no-brain. It is like, of course we would want to do something like this, and yet here we have the United States of America that's supposed to be the leading technology country, you know, setting the example technology-wise for the world, and yet we are so far behind the curve on energy conservation. It's almost like we pride ourselves in the waste that we have.
Sure.
And these products have actually done very well overseas.
Correct. And in fact, when we began negotiating with these companies in order to bring the product here to North America, almost always their reply is, "Well, the Americans, your power grid's different. That's kept us from developing this for you. And number two, you won't want it. The rest of the world wants to conserve, but Americans don't." And that's just the perceived thought process that they've got. And so in developing these products and working with them, and getting them engineered for us, you know, we knew that there are going to be people who want to save. And some want to save just for the principle of it, and others want to save because it's a financial benefit. And to us, it doesn't matter. We want to save, and we want to help customers save money, too. So.
Yeah, and that's what's fun about a lot of these technologies that are coming out, is that you do two things at once. Number one, you use less electricity. Number two, you get more of what it was that you had at the beginning. You get more light, your engine lasts longer,
right?
It works just as well, and you're saving money on how much energy you're using to run the thing. So, you know, you get money back into your pocket that you would have had to spend for electricity, and you know, it's a little bit out front. There's some investment involved in getting the product in the first place, except in the case of the fluorescent bulbs, where that's like an obvious no-brainer. If you're going to have a choice between A and B, they cost the same amount. This one is brighter, uses, X percent less energy. Like, isn't it like 24, 50% less energy? And, I mean, that's just so, so obvious. And yet, these products have not yet broke into the U.S. market because of the myopic, selfish, gloating, wasteful attitude that we've had as a country. Maybe that's changing a little bit now with how pricey energy is starting to get.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is a good time to introduce something like this. But it's sad. It's a sad commentary that this has taken this long to penetrate over here.
Right. It is, you know, and we're trying to make sure that that wave, you know, has begun for us over here as well as, you know, in Europe and the Pacific Rim. I do want to make one quick comment on all of our products, by the way. We have an option of a no-cost introduction of our services. We will actually fund the product for the customer, and it's basically an energy lease. And what we do is we provide the product. So instead of the customer, let's say their power bill is $10, now their power bill is $7. And so we take that savings of $3 and put it toward the energy lease and to pay off. So there's no upfront costs. There's no out-of-pocket expenses to implement our technology. Now, if a customer doesn't want to do that, and they've got the capital to go ahead and implement, you know, we do have clients that just pay cash for the product so that they, you know, ROI is beginning immediately. But, you know, being able to have, not to worry about the upfront expense is also a benefit that we offer.
Well, that's great. I appreciate you joining us for the show, Paul. Again, your website?
Synergy, S-E-N-E-R-G-Y. Solution, SOLUTION.com.
And this has been the Free Energy Now show with PES Network. You can join us every day at FreeEnergyNews.com. If you want to see what our upcoming shows are for this show, it's FreeEnergyNow.net. Thanks for joining us.